Bibles tonight, Acts chapter number 2. I appreciate the good staff that you have here, amen. I really don't want to start naming names, but I thank God for Brother David Nichols and Brother Brent Saxton and the Galleons and all the school staff and all that. And I was just thinking this week, and I'm not trying to pinpoint one more than the other, but I ultimately owe everything to the Lord Jesus Christ. But God puts people in your path just to kind of help you along the way, amen. And Brother David Nichols is definitely one of those people. The night that I got saved, he was the one that walked me up to the baptistry, and we just hit it off right then. There was times we thought we were going to kill each other, but I'm glad that he's been a dear friend. The very first time I ever went out on bus visitation, I went out with Brother David, and I swore that if I could ever live through that one day of bus visitation, that I'd never get on a bus route another day in my life, amen. But a little boy started hitting me across the back with a plastic golf club, and I said, man, I didn't ask for any of this, amen. I'm trying to be in the will of God, and I'm feeling the chastisement of God out here. But anyway, but I love Brother David, and he's been a dear friend to me, and I appreciate him. And I appreciate God using him, amen, and God's using him in a great way. And as I watched him yesterday in chapel, just God has, he has allowed him to be the leader that he is today, amen. I love Brother David. Acts chapter number 2, if you find your place, let's all stand as we take reverence to reading the Word of God. Brother David, is there anything else you wanted me to say about you, amen? Is that it? Amen. Acts chapter number 2, he pays me well, amen. Look at verse number 46, I'm just kidding. Acts chapter number 2. We'll just look at a couple of verses here. Acts chapter 2, look at verse number 46. The Bible says, "And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." And Brother David, would you open us up in prayer tonight, please, sir? Amen. You may be seated tonight. As this week, I've shared the pulpit with Brother Fugate. There's many times throughout the year that I preach in meetings or conferences or camp meetings and things like that, and I'm not the only preacher on the docket. And just a few years ago, I was preaching in Houston, Texas at the Shady Acres Baptist Church. I was in one of their camp meetings there. And that night, I don't know if I was preaching or not, but that night I was sitting there and there was a preacher that got up and he made what I would consider a very simple bottom of the shelf statement, but from the youngest to the eldest could get it, and if they did get it, it would absolutely turn their lives around to just bring honor and glory to God the rest of the days of their life. But he made this statement. He said, "Church," he said, "I've been saved for 50 years. And he said, I've been preaching for 35 years. And he said, "You know how I've been able to be faithful to God these last 50 years as a Christian and these last 35 years as a preacher?" He said, "It's not because I'm a great pulpiteer." He said, "It's not because I've got a magnificent prayer life." He said, "It's not because of any other reason except for three things." He said, "The reason I've been able to be faithful to God these last 50 years as a Christian and these last 35 years as a preacher is because of three reasons. First of all," he said, "I've learned what it was to read my Bible every single day." He said, "Second of all," he said, "I've learned what it is to pray every single day." And he said, "Third of all," he said, "I've learned what it was to be in church every single day." And that's pretty simple, that's pretty bottom of the shelf, but if we could get a hold of that, there's no telling what we could do for God, amen. And you understand tonight, as this week, starting on Sunday, going through Wednesday, as far as the calendar is concerned, we've had revival, and hopefully there's been some individuals under the sound of my voice that you've had your own personal revival, and God's done something in your life, and you're fired up about some things, and you've rekindled that fire back in your life, the fires of revival. But you understand tonight that if we'll find out what it is to do some things daily in our life, the revival does not have to end tonight, amen, but you could have your own personal revival day in and day out, amen. In Acts chapter number 2, you'll find that this is after the greatest revival of all time, or that ever will be, after the day of Pentecost, where Peter stood and preached the word of God. And I want you to look at a couple things here tonight, and we'll get right into the message, and I'm not going to keep you long. We appreciate your faithfulness all week long. Look at verse number 46. Look at verse number 46. The Bible says, and they. Now, first of all, we need to identify who they that's talking about. That's the church, amen. That's the church. It says, and they, that early church that the Lord Jesus Christ started during his earthly ministry. And then I want you to look at that next word that says, continuing. That word continuing means to stay steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Then I want you to look at that next word. Daily. That means consistent. Day by day by day. Never letting up. Never giving in. Faithfully, 7 days a week. 365 days a year. You understand, the moment that a Christian decides to walk with God daily, his or her life will immediately assume a new and a distinctive character in their life. The word daily is used 9 times in the book of Acts, and it simply refers to the time space between dawn and dark. Listen to this statement. If we believers of today would place on our daily calendars what the first century believers practiced, we would quickly discover first century power. From dark till dawn, and from dawn to dark, you understand, Christ should have a position. Christ should have a preeminence. And Christ should have a priority in each and every one of our lives. There's not a single one of us here tonight that should ever let one 24-hour period go by without accomplishing certain spiritual assignments in our life. And I want to give us some things tonight, according to the Word of God, that each and every one of us ought to be found doing daily. And understand tonight, the revival does not have to end on September the 13th, 2007. But my friend, you can still have revival tomorrow. And you can still have revival on Friday. And you can still have revival next week and next month and next year if we'll just find out what it is to do some things faithfully every single day of our life. Amen. You understand, the world, the flesh, and the devil do not take one day off in attacking you and I with temptation. Amen. And my friend, you and I cannot afford to take one day off without walking with the Lord. First of all, tonight I want you to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Very basic message tonight, but if we can get a hold of it, my friend, I guarantee you could have your own personal revival. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Look at verse number 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look at verse number 31. The Bible says, I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I die daily. You understand, one thing that every single one of us ought to do daily is we ought to daily have a sacrifice of the flesh, amen. Daily sacrifice the flesh. We talked about it the other night. I'm not talking about physically dying, but I'm talking about spiritually dying to the flesh and being found out what it is to be led by the Spirit of God. We brought out the verse the other night. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, my friend. Every single day, if there's one funeral service that every single one of us ought to attend on a daily basis, it's the funeral service of self, amen. You understand tonight, church, you know who the biggest enemy of Chris Dallas is? It's not the devil. The biggest enemy of Chris Dallas is that one that I look at in the mirror every single day. And my friend, when you and I commit sin, thank God one of these days, old Slewfoot himself, Satan is going to get everything that is due him. But my friend, too many times I believe we put too much blame on the devil. When you sin and when I sin, it's not the devil's fault that we sin. It's because we gave in to this old stuff that we live in called the flesh every single day, my friend. And we must find out what it is to beg and ask God to allow us to die to self. And find out what it is to be led by the Spirit of God. Amen. God, my prayer is every single day, God, empty myself of me and fill me with thy Spirit. Amen. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. Look at verse number 18. The Bible says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Did you get what the Apostle Paul said? He said, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. So if there's no good thing about our flesh, then it makes sense that we should not want it any part of our life, amen. We are to find out what it is to die to this flesh every single day and be led by the Spirit of God. You've heard it said like this before. There's two natures that beat within our breast. The one is cursed, the other is blessed. The one I love, the other I hate. But the one I feed will surely dominate. And friend, I don't want to find out what it is to be led by the old man. I want to find out what it is to be led by the new man. But I cannot find out what I cannot feed to carnal things and feed to worldly things and the wicked things of this world. If I'm going to find out what it is to be led by the Spirit of God, I'm going to have to find out what it is to read this Bible and to pray and to have a sincere walk with God every single day of my life. Amen. My wife and I, as I said last night, we've been going over to the Bahamas the last few years preaching revivals. And a couple years ago when I was over there, I was preaching a youth meeting, and before I got up one afternoon to preach to all those little, those young teenage Bahamian kids, they had a question and answer time. And I told them, just like I do anybody, anytime there's a question and answer time, I'm going to tell you this, I don't have all the answers. Matter of fact, I don't even know most of the questions, amen. But there's a little Bahamian boy that got up, and I thought he asked a very intelligent question. He said, Brother Dallas, he said, I'm saved. He said, I'm on my way to heaven. He said, I know the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior. He said, but at what point in the Christian life will I get to quit fighting this flesh? And I said, son, I'm not trying to be a smart aleck. But you'll quit fighting that flesh when you stand before God in heaven one of these days, amen. It's a constant battle every single day of our life, and that's why we must, at the very beginning of the day, find out what it is to die to the flesh and be led by the Spirit of God. Brother Fugate, when he took the church there at Clay's Mill Road Baptist Church in Lexington, the pastor before him was Dr. Lewis Arnold. And Dr. Lewis Arnold handed the church down to Brother Fugate, but then Dr. Arnold went into full-time evangelism and traveled in full-time evangelism until he was 101 years old. And I'm not 101 years old, but I feel like I'm 101 years old sometimes, amen. But anyway, Brother Fugate had him come into his church there at Clay's Mill on his 100th birthday, and he preached Sunday morning and Sunday night on his 100th birthday, and they gave him a birthday bash and all those things. They just really spoiled him rotten on his 100th birthday. And after lunch on Sunday, after Brother Arnold preached there on Sunday, Brother Fugate took Brother Arnold out to eat, and they were sitting there, and Brother Fugate asked Brother Arnold, he said, "Brother Arnold," he said, "as you travel the country at 100 years old in full-time evangelism," he said, "what's the hardest thing that you have to overcome traveling the road in evangelism at 100 years old?" And Brother Fugate thought that he was going to talk about how he was old and feeble and it was hard for him to get around. And Brother Arnold looked at Brother Fugate with tears streaming down his face. He said, "Brother Fugate," he said, "the hardest thing that I have to overcome at 100 years old traveling in evangelism," he said, "is this stuff that I live in every single day called the flesh." Amen. And can we be reminded tonight, if a 100-year-old man still had to battle the flesh every single day, you and I have to battle the flesh every single day. And that's why we must die to the flesh daily and be led by the Spirit of God. Amen. First of all, Paul said, "I die daily, a funeral service of self, a daily sacrifice of the flesh." Second of all, turn your Bibles to Acts chapter number 1. Acts chapter number 1. Look at verse number 14. The Bible says, "These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication, with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren." First of all, tonight, a daily sacrifice of the flesh will help us to have revival every single day of our life. And second of all, a daily time of supplication will help us have a revival down deep inside our soul every single day. You understand tonight, church, the believers in the early church, they placed a strong emphasis upon prayer. They were daily in the temple. The Bible says, look at Acts chapter 3, look at verse number 1. Acts chapter 3, verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour." You understand, there were three distinct prayer times in the temple. First of all, 9 o'clock in the morning, 12 o'clock at noon, and then 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And Peter and John, they were two very influential individuals that filled their day with prayer because prayer was paramount in their lives. Amen. Every single day, the child of God are to find themselves accessing the throne room of grace. Amen. Ralph Cushman wrote these words. He said, "I met God in the morning when the day was at its best, and his presence came like sunrise, like a glory in my breast. All day long his presence lingered. All day long he stayed with me, and we sailed in perfect calmness o'er a very troubled sea. Other ships were blown and battered. Other ships were sore distressed. But the winds that seemed to drive them brought to me a peace and rest. Then I thought of other mornings with a keen remorse of mind, when I too had loosed the moorings with his presence left behind. So I think I know the secret, learned from many a troubled way. You must seek him in the morning if you want him through your day." Child of God, there should never be one 24-hour period that should ever pass when heaven does not hear our earnest request for the names and the needs on our prayer list. Amen. Psalm says this, "Lord, all my desire is before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee." As we talked about last night, Matthew chapter 6, verse number 6, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter in thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Do you understand tonight, child of God? Short and inconsistent time with God will never produce spirit-filled Christians in our life. Amen. Finding out what it is to have a daily time of supplication. Third of all, very quickly, look at Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. Look at verse number 11. The Bible says these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Brother Dallas, what are some things in the Bible that says we ought to do daily? Well, we ought to find out what it is to die daily to the flesh. Second of all, we ought to have a daily time of supplication or daily time of prayer. And third of all, we ought to find ourselves daily studying the scriptures, amen. Daily studying the scriptures. You understand, the believers in the early church, they placed a strong emphasis upon practical Bible study. They wanted to make sure that what they were learning and how they were living lined up with the Word of God. Every 24-hour period, child of God, we should find ourselves in the Word of God, amen. Can I say tonight, I've been here in services where your preacher's preached. I've been in other services where he's preaching. He's a dear man of God that absolutely studies the Bible and wants to feed the flock that God has given him. And my friend, I believe he feeds you Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And thank God that he does. But there has to come a time in every born again, blood-bought child of God, where you can't just live off of what the preacher gives you behind this pulpit. There has to come a time every single day where we find ourselves in the Bible, studying and seeing what God wants to give us personally that day, amen. Daily studying the Bible. Look at Genesis chapter number 3. Genesis chapter number 3. Child of God, I'm trying to help you tonight. You understand? You don't have to just live off the spring revival. You don't have to just live off the fall revival. I'll tell you, you can have a revival down deep inside your soul every single day of your life if we'll find out what it is, do some consistent things daily in our life. Amen. Look at Genesis chapter 3. We all know what's going on here in Genesis chapter 3. This is after Satan came to Eve and said, yeah, if God said, and she said, well, we can partake of the fruit of except for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And she said, because if we do, we're going to die. And Satan says, well, you're not going to die, but you'll see yourself as God. The Bible says she partook of her other fruit, and she did give her husband, and he did eat. And we understand that after that, that Adam and Eve saw themselves as they were, and they went and hid themselves. But before that and even after that, God came in the garden in the cool of the day to have fellowship with his creation, Adam, amen. And then after Adam and Eve, they sinned there in the garden. They hid themselves. And look at Genesis chapter 3. Look at verse number 9. The Bible says, and the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? My friend, is God asking the same question to you today? As you got out of bed, and as you hit the alarm clock, and you got out of bed, and you went to the bathroom and took a shower, and got dressed, and sat down at the kitchen table, ate breakfast, and left for work, and worked 10, 12, 14 hours a day, and came home, and now you're at church, and I'm glad you're at church. But is God asking you, where art thou when it comes to prayer time? Where art thou when it comes to reading my book? Where art thou when it comes to Thursday night soul winning? Where art thou when it comes to serving me and living for me? You understand tonight, child of God? People ask me all the time, Brother Dallas, how do you stay fired up? How do you stay excited? I'll tell you how. This simple method that I'm giving you tonight, it's Bible, amen. And if we'll find out what it is, do some things daily, amen, we'll have our own personal revival every single day of our life. First of all, tonight, daily sacrifice the flesh, daily supplication, daily studying the scriptures. Look at Acts chapter 5. Look at Acts chapter 5. Look at verse number 42, the last verse. The Bible says, and daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Not only should we have a daily sacrifice of the flesh, a daily time of supplication, a daily time of studying the Scriptures, but we ought to be daily soul winners. Amen. We ought to be a daily witness for the Lord. Say, oh, Brother Dallas, the reason I don't tell anybody about the Lord is because I don't know the Bible as well as the preacher does, or I don't have the Bible memorized like somebody else does. My friend, why don't we quit using excuses tonight and just remember what God's done in our life, amen? And the same way that the Lord saved us is the same way He's going to save anybody else. And if Jesus lives in our heart, we know what He's done for us. So go out and tell somebody what He's done for you, amen? Be a daily witness for the Lord. Can we all be reminded tonight, Revelation chapter 20, verse number 14 and 15? And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You say, oh, Brother Dallas, I really don't come in contact with anybody that I can be a witness to. Well, that whosoever means the cashier at the grocery store. That whosoever means your beautician, ladies. That whosoever means your barber, men. That whosoever means the plumber that you have to call from time to time, or the one that fixes the air conditioner. Or you understand that whosoever is everybody that we come in contact with. It doesn't take anything just to give them a gospel tract and just tell them about Jesus. Amen. Be a daily witness for the Lord. And lastly, I finish. Look at 2 Corinthians. Chapter number 6. Second Corinthians chapter number 6. To the child of God, you know how we can have our own personal revival? Find out what it is to daily sacrifice the flesh. Find out what it is to daily have a time of supplication and a daily time of studying the Scriptures and being a daily soul winner. But maybe to somebody here tonight on this Wednesday night midweek church service, there's never been a time where you've had that day of salvation. I want you to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, look at verse number 2. The Bible says, for He saith, I have heard thee at a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Maybe there's somebody at the sound of my voice, maybe a young person or a middle-aged person or an older person here tonight. You say, well, Brother Dallas, I'm just going to put this thing of salvation off to the next revival or to the next church service. No, my friend, today is the day of salvation. The Bible also says something about that. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. My friend, every one of us will stand before God one day and we'll have to give an account to what we did with Jesus. You either rejected Him or you received Him. You reject Him, you go to hell. You receive Him, you'll go to heaven. Amen. There's some days that, you understand, it's going to be about 6 months from here or 7 or 8 months from here before you have your spring revival. And then it'll be 6 months from then you'll have your fall revival. And there's a lot of individual days that come in between the spring revival and the fall revival. But you don't have to just have revival when it's on the church calendar. You can have a revival every single day of your life if we'll find out what it is to do some things daily. Amen. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Brother Nepp, should you come and lead the invitation as you see fit tonight?
Are bowed and eyes are closed. Just a moment, the piano will begin to play. If you've been in the services many, if not all, of the evenings this week, have been challenged on many different fronts about some daily practical steps in the Christian life. And truth is, coming to a place like tonight, these are very basic, 101 reset reminders for all of us. Maybe in the process of revival services and coming and going every night and being so busy, you got so busy that you didn't walk with the Lord. Perhaps tonight the Holy Spirit spoke to your heart about one or several of those five things that were mentioned. I'm going to ask the piano to begin to play. Let me invite you to stand. If the Holy Spirit has spoke to your heart tonight and you want to come and just spend a few moments or make a decision, I encourage you to do that, would you? What a great thing it would be to just say, Lord, I don't want a revival to end tonight. I want that fire to remain fresh. I want my walk with you to be real.